Welcome to Runners of the Corn Podcast, a podcast about all things running in the Midwest.
It's just a hike in the woods. It's an adventure.
But we are recording.
Oh, we are getting.
Oh, boy.
With your host, Jen Heller. Here we go. Welcome to the podcast.
Yay.
We're here again. Woohoo. Like 3 days later. 2 days later?
Two. You were here Wednesday.
Turn and burn, baby.
So like every 3 days. Saturday, Wednesday. Well, no, it's been 2 days. Friday.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm taking a break until Lily's ready for me.
Yeah.
I
can't wait to hear about it with her.
So, what's that voice we have here today?
Hi, it's Lauren.
It's Lauren.
Who also happens to be celebrating a birthday.
Woo-hoo. Are you ready? All right, go ahead. Sing, Grace.
No.
I'm waiting.
I'm the one who gets everybody started, and then I just...
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hey, I will have you know that I was looking for a Dolly Parton happy birthday to put to my post that you'll see in 3 to 5 business days. If you know, you know when I say that.
I saw your post. Uh-huh.
Some people understand it because you... don't always get on stuff and see things. But anyway.
No, I have not been on Facebook yet today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2:35 in the afternoon.
Yeah, so I was like, she'll see this in 3 to 5 business days. So, but I was looking for a Dolly Parton happy birthday song. And I there was a snippet with her and Willie and then Nelson. And then it like was really weird afterwards. And I was like, oh, no, I can't. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Dolly needs to do that.
I'm surprised there's not like a her and a Kenny.
Ooh, Kenny Rogers.
That would have been really good.
That would have been really good.
I had to listen to so much Dolly and Kenny growing up that it scarred me.
Do you feel like you have a newfound appreciation for it though now, having me as your driving partner for many, many things?
No, I think she hates many, it. Many, she just tolerates
I
for
think,
you.
I know.
Oh my gosh, that would be a number I would like to know. How many miles on the road have you and I had together?
Oh my gosh. Well, oh, true, a couple trips you guys drove to Texas.
Yeah. Two, you went to Leadville.
Leadville.
Yeah. Several thousand.
Yeah.
Road trips. Yeah.
We should add that up sometime.
Yeah. How many miles do we have? Yeah.
Okay. We're really gaming the awkward pause today.
They'll never know. They'll never know. It'll be cut. Spice cut. Who's vibrating?
It's me.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Have a great day. Hope your day's awesome.
It's from my sister. Oh, but with I have happy birthday glasses on right now, and my phone doesn't recognize my face. She doesn't say anything interesting.
Well, does she listen to the podcast?
She does. Hi, sister.
Well, tell her to say something. Because other lame. She's getting called out for nothing. So I want to say thank you, or you want to say thank you to Corby Burkett and Alicia for the drinks today.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Corby says, thank you for all you do for everyone. Happy birthday.
Nice.
Alicia says, happy birthday, Lauren, and looking forward to a wild recording.
Woohoo!
We're just getting started, Alicia, so thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Special shout out to Crystal Cork. You can't hear it.
I know, but it's just so fun.
But you just keep blowing away in that.
That's right.
And now Grace. They're supposed to go or something. What are these things called that you guys are playing with? It's annoying.
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's just a party favor. It's one of those things that you blow into in the...
It's a blower.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
I can't wait to know. How many are going, that's what she said. This is what she said. And they're listening right now.
Oh, I have it. Where did I hear it? Was it with you? It was. I think it was Texas. How do you control your liquor?
Oh.
Yes.
Punchline, anybody?
I don't remember. I remember it coming
you
up.
Hold them by the ears.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the rest of it's going
to
stay
that was on your way
Texas.
To Uranus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Uranus. Yeah.
How do you hold your liquor?
Will you hold her by the...
How do you hold your liquor?
You hold her by... Hold him by
hold
the ears?
Hold him by the ears.
Hold him by the ears.
Yes.
Yeah, you forgot the him part.
Did I say hold him?
Well,
you did.
We're really dissecting this joke out.
That way they remember it. Yeah. They got it. They got it. All right. On that note. Okay. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
We got some martinis to go from Crystal Cork. Fun fact. I said no burping in the mic, so I had to stop. they have an app, and you can order them, preferably in the morning if they're busy, and you can pick them up whenever. They'll have them ready. But you can order your martinis to go in these cute little containers.
And they're plastic, so you could take them in the park.
On your miles, Lauren?
Put them in a drop bag.
Because you need carbs, apparently.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine if I had not taken a spring on my run today and just had one of these? That would have gone, like,
should we even fill worse. In everyone's, like, what happened? Did you carb out today?
I proteined it up so hard this morning.
Great job.
I had two breakfasts, both of eggs. So I was full of protein and no carbs and went out for a two-hour run. Felt weird and disoriented slightly. Like, I knew where I was, but everything looked weird. So luckily I had a Spring Energy in my glove compartment.
Energy, which you can buy at Stonebridge Running.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Anyway. Yep.
And it was the awesome sauce.
Mm.
And the most popular flavor.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
I would imagine, because it's super good.
Oh, yeah.
It's super awesome.
Eight to 10 boxes of that for every box of everything else.
I have a bunch about to expire at my house, if you're interested.
No, because I'll just keep it in my glove compartment and then be way expired.
So the spring saved you?
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was about half an hour in, and then I was able to do the other hour and a half.
Good job on your run today.
Thanks.
Yeah, we'll circle to that okay. in a little bit. You and running.
Great.
Training. All right. Well, I first want to start with, you've been helping out in the podcast. You've been on the podcast before a couple times.
Yeah, but you don't know about me.
But we've never done a Lauren podcast of just Lauren. So the ghost.
There's a shoe that just fell.
Yeah, he just throws them down. Did not like that one.
Nope.
So anyway.
Was it the black torn?
It was the orange.
Oh, okay.
New one.
I moved it.
So anyway, for you to do this, we need to have your podcast.
And
talk about you today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yay.
And then we'll put you back to work on the podcast with us. Yeah, yeah.
Because it is a little awkward being the main person.
And then be like, I'm having my turn.
What?
Yeah. So I would like you to start with the most basic is share how your ultra running journey. I have only had a couple sets, just so you all know. Your ultra running journey has started.
I've been a runner for a super, super long time. Fourth grade, for that matter. Yeah. We moved to Connecticut as a family. And I told my mom I wanted to be on the Glastonbury Track Club. And she was like, you realize that's running, right? And I,
yeah.
Just like, okay. And so then my sister ended up doing it too. So we have done track since that time.
Do you guys compete against each other?
No.
As sisters?
No. She was the first one that did, I won't mention too much because she'll probably be on the podcast sometime.
Mm-hmm.
But fast forward, I was out of chiropractic school and I lived in Colorado, and you're just around all that. You know, you're around the extreme sports, the triathlon, the rock climbers, and some ultra runners. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do one. Well, at the same time, that's when our Yeti group was being started here. So I was, from a distance, you know, excited about that and like hearing what they were doing and, you know, that there were more people congregating together as a running club doing longer distances. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that too. And then I was pregnant. I moved to Norway. So that changed everything and ended up getting pregnant. So over there, my friends there are amazing and super active, but we were more into like gym and HIIT and weightlifting. So like the longer stuff sort of went on the back burner, and I always thought, well, maybe. Well, then my sister was like, she went and did her first 50 in 2013. And so I was like, yep, next year I'm going to do that. So I had my daughter Vilda in 2014 in February, And so in August of 2014, I ran my first 50 while my sister ran her first 100. We were at the same place. So we were at Lean Horse 100 in South Dakota.
Mm.
So I breastfed Vilda at the 50 mile or at the 25 mile mark. And then it was a turnaround. So turned around, went and ran back to the start finish, breastfed her there at the end. And that was how it started. I was like, this is awesome. I'm so powerful. Right? Like yeah. You have that feeling yeah. once yeah. you do it, you're like, okay, what can't I do?
Mm-hmm.
Like it really gives you that sense of like,
I'm a badass.
Yeah. Especially with a baby and a 6 month old and you're yeah. breastfeeding on top of it.
It was
well, she's feeding
cool.
her yeah. and her, like mm-hmm. two people basically.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
So I was a little worried of like the supply going down, but mm-hmm. I did all the stuff and I like oatmeal is supposedly really good for keeping supply high. So I was shoving the oatmeal into my mouth all the time, which is funny that we talk about oatmeal so much. On this
I know.
Show.
Yeah. I'm like, here we go with the oatmeal again.
Yeah.
So you had to really keep you think that helps you keep your nutrition up higher? Cause you knew you had to think about somebody else.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I didn't want to stop mm-hmm. breastfeeding her.
Right.
Yeah. So that was a thing for
what
sure.
What a way to start, be like, oh, I have to eat really good. Not for me, but because I care so much about this little person.
Oh, and I planned everything down to a T. Like I didn't eat anything from the aid stations. I had made my own little like carb quinoa egg cups, like little quiches.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to aid stations and I would tell them like what I wanted at the next one. I'm like, I want two of my egg things and I want this and I want that. And then they had it all ready for me because I had prepped everything.
Wow.
Damn.
That was, it was way different back then. Now yeah. I'm like, M&M's? Sure.
It's just me. I don't care.
Yeah.
Huh. I like it.
Yeah. So I was super regimented.
So she really helped you.
Yeah. Because now I'm not that. Then came Charlie, and it went the other way.
So it was that second one.
Yeah. So then the next year after that, had her, came back here for a visit, trained with my sister for about a month. We went and did the race, and then went back to Norway and did another 50 mile over there. The Eco Trail Challenges, if anybody wants to have a look at them, are really cool races. It's completely self-sustained. So you carry everything you could possibly need with you.
Wow.
And their aid stations are just refilling your pack. And it's like, leave no trace. But they have big ones and like Oslo was one. So that's where we did ours. I did it with my friend Myrna. And they have one in Paris. I think they have one in Brussels. So it's pretty neat.
Is that just how it is over there? More so?
Not. No, I think that's just that, the way this particular one is run. Mm-hmm. But I can remember being so upset at that one. Because like the Lean Horse 50 that I did and got second place, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there. Back in the day.
Back in my day.
It's pretty flat. You know, it's an old railroad road.
Wait.
Railroad road?
Where is this?
This is in South Dakota.
Oh, okay. We're not in Norway. I'm like.
Railroad trail. Yeah.
In South Dakota, not Norway.
South Dakota, yeah. It was pretty flat.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we had mm-hmm. some like low grade for a long time, but so then. My friend Myrna and I do this Eco Trail Challenge in Oslo, and the whole first, half of it, 20 miles of it, is straight up because we're actually heading towards the ski jump in Oslo. And I was like, oh, this sucks so bad. 20 miles of just up.
And how's your friend doing? Killing it? Because she's...
Oh, because she's a mountain goat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of my questions is how do you... You were in Norway, and how does running there compare to here?
Oh, even like from our house where I lived, it was the first 11 minutes, because I would time it, was uphill. And then you kind of level out. So I mean, and admittedly, I was a much stronger runner then.
Mm-hmm.
I was lifting more. I was running way more hills because I had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that makes you a stronger runner.
And the lifestyle there would be,
yeah.
I mean, if you can't get around without going up a hill.
I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. But then it's also really cool because you see older people who walk down into town, do their grocery shopping.
Pass you on the hill.
And walk back up.
Oh, my yeah. God.
And they're in, like, their 80s.
Have a great day. Oh, my gosh, she's passing me.
Well, along that line, when I first moved to Colorado, so I had just finished chiropractic school and I moved to Colorado, I was like, oh, my gosh, this altitude was kicking my ass. And I was doing easily 12-mile runs here, and I go out there, and I'm like, 5K was brutal.
Wow.
So I was there about 3 months, and I'm like, yes, I'm going to sign up for a race. It was just a 5K, by the way. And I felt like I was running so hard. I was like, yes, this is a great race. And then I get passed by a lady who, at that point, I'm in my early 30s. She's definitely in her 60s, and her arm is in a sling. I was like, what in the hell? And I physically can't go any faster. I'm like, I'm dying. Mm. Yeah. Arm in a sling.
Did you live in Colorado after Norway?
No, Colorado was before Norway. Okay. So I graduated from Palmer, and then I moved straight out to Colorado, and I was there for about 2 years, and then I moved to Norway, and I was there about 4.5 years.
Okay. How long have you been back?
Oh, well, back Vilda here? Was like 2.5.
Okay.
She turns 10 next week, so seven and a half years I've been back now. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that went real fast. So... what's next? What's
the
next?
Well, it's so funny because I was like, what came first? Ultra running or chiropractic? Obviously, the running came first. Mm. And then the ultra running came before chiropractic or?
No, the ultra running came after chiropractic. But in my last year of chiropractic school, I think that's sort of when everything was like, I'm almost done. The stress is off. Mm-hmm. I want to do something big when I graduate. So I actually... my aunts might be listening. So hi to my aunt Oksana and my aunt Melissa. I roped them into doing one of those Tough Mudders with me. I was like, hey, 50-year-old aunts.
Nice.
Do you want to do the Tough Mudder with me in Breckenridge, Colorado in June? And this was like the couple weeks after I would graduate chiropractic school, and they're both like, sure.
Nice.
Yeah. So we all started training. So where I lived, I was living in LeClaire, Iowa. So where I lived, to the end of the road was 0.5 mile. So I would just do 3 miles every day, trying to get my stamina up. And then I'd work out in the weight room at the school. And so then I went out to Colorado after I graduated, and we did this Tough Mudder. It was a half marathon with obstacles, and we had so much fun. It was awesome. So I think that kind of kickstarted it. And then I moved to Colorado after that, and I'm like, yep, this is where I need to be. Wow. And it's definitely like a creature of culture, right? Like you get around it, and then it just sort of seeps in. And then it looks more doable because you find all these other people that know how to do it. That's kind of the way it's become here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. I think so.
Yeah. You see all these people that are like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it.
It's very normal to the people we hang out with, the things that we hear and do. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like someone's like, oh, I'm going to do this many miles.
Uh-huh. Super.
Why'd you pick your aunts to do that with you?
Because they lived out in Colorado, and
I
was like, you know, why don't I go out there with them and maybe they'd want to do this race with me. Mm-hmm. So it was more like I wanted a fun trip after I graduated.
Nice.
So I spent, I think, 2 weeks there.
Because that's very much your personality. If somebody said, hey, do you want to go do this whatever? You'd be like, yeah, let's go.
I sure do. Well,
so that's very similar.
Yeah. Actually, that happened. We're going to backtrack even further. So at one point I was living in Chicago and my sister texted me and she's like, hey, this weekend, what are you doing? I go, I don't know. Well, it's Father's Day weekend, so probably hanging out with Dad. She's like, oh, yeah. Well, before we do that, do you want to go and do this 10-mile race down in Tennessee? We'll leave noon on Friday. I'm Like, yeah, let's do that. So noon on Friday, we hop in the car and drive to Bell Buckle, Tennessee.
Ooh.
And we do the Moon Pie and RC Cola 10-mile race. And at that point, it was both our longest race. Had a great time. Both had moon pies for the first time. Then got matching moon pie tattoos.
That's where that came from?
Yeah, that's
where it came from.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
we were in Bucky's.
Yes.
And I said, ooh, a moon pie. And she goes, you like moon pies? I go, yeah. She goes, fun fact, I have a moon pie tattoo. And I said, what? I have a moon pie tattoo.
Why?
I wasn't standing with you guys then when and we had this conversation.
I didn't be like, why do you got a moon pie tattoo? I'm like, it's just Lauren. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why. I think shortly later that guy spilled a pop all over me and got my poor feet wet. And I was like, I can't dry them.
It is your gremlin feet.
And I was like, it is what it is.
They were just growing as we drove.
That's why, because he got them wet after midnight. But yeah.
And we didn't know where Lynn went because she like just went
she just
crazy.
She like shopped and then
shopping.
Left.
Yeah.
Grace came over to me. She goes, just be warned, she has a cart. I mean, you guys gave me a cart so I could walk. Like it was like a walker.
Right.
But
she was legitimately using hers.
I got a lot of good Christmas gifts there this year.
Yeah.
But Lynn's cart was full.
Full.
Did you get the sweatpants?
The best sweatpants ever.
I hate mine.
What?
I think my butt is too big because the front is very baggy and the butt is way too tight. So then I turned them around thinking maybe they just made them. Nope. Nope. They did not make them wrong.
I'll take them.
Everything else is baggy on it.
I love them.
Except that booty.
Sorry, burped.
I love them. I'm like, these are my best favorite sweatpants.
I wish.
Because they're so long.
Long and soft. Nope.
You're bootylicious.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Yeah. That's how I knew about the moon pie.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't know about the moon pie.
Yes, that's how we got the moon.
I bought moon pie while I was there.
Did you? Was it
at
good?
Bucky's? I gave it to Brandon in the Christmas
thing. Yeah. I've tried one since and it's not as good.
But
making them. No.
Oh, no.
They're terrible.
It was terrible.
They were making them fresh at the end of the race.
Oh.
And that was delicious.
I was so excited because I was eating nonstop on that ride home and I was like, ooh, moon pie. Yeah. I think I got like three bites and went, like, moon pie.
They're not good.
Shit pie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're not good and you have a tattoo fully devoted to them.
I know.
But it's moon pie.
But I've
race.
Had like a real moon pie, and right. That was amazing.
All right, so really, that's the gist of how you got into ultra running, right? Like this is how it all got into it.
Yeah.
Did your aunts do any more after you roped them into that?
I ended up moving out there,
more in the bag.
And we would do races together. So, like, we would travel around and do 5 or 10 Ks, and we'd travel around and do half marathon. We never did anything crazy like that before.
You never did what?
Sorry, we were more distracted by the drinks than we were listening to you.
I'm like, that apologies. One looks really good.
There's
I'm not drinking that chocolate one.
On the dust, there's one more chocolate one. No, I don't like chocolate.
I'm not going to do the chocolate one either. Nothing as intense as the Tough Mudder.
Okay.
That's like a Spartan race, essentially,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was really nice because, like, on weekends, we'd go hiking or, you know, like, we'd sign up for these races and go do them. So it was a good way to see different parts of Colorado.
All right.
Yeah.
Why chiropractor?
Oh, my gosh. So actually,
and I should say you specialize, we know, in athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You do a lot with athletes. You did some work with athletes out in Colorado, correct?
Yeah. That's actually sort of where it all blossomed. Because I saw some professional triathletes that go down to Kona and do the whole thing. So, and some of the guys that have won it before. So they're world champions. Marinda Carfrey, if anybody follows triathlon, she's insane. Mm-hmm. And so I've worked on her. And then I also got a chance to work on an athlete named Mike Coughlin. He's from Canada, and I traveled with him twice to Hawaii for the Ultraman World Championship, which, if anybody doesn't know, most people don't know what Ultraman is. It's essentially a little over a double Ironman. So they're doing a 10K swim. They have a 282-mile bike and then a double marathon. So it is so intense and so insanely cool to watch these athletes. It's amazing. And they circumnavigate the whole big island. Okay. So yeah, I was with some from Pethethano.
It's only me.
There's that martini.
Yeah, keep drinking. Thank you for the drinks.
Yeah, thank you. Alicia.
And Corby.
And Corby.
And Anonymous.
That
was the last one.
I was with professional athletes. Yeah.
Hey, Lauren, you sure got a pretty mouth.
Oh, my God.
Do we need to edit?
Professional. Athletes. Okay. Down to, like, the weekend warriors, basically, okay, who I was seeing there in Colorado. Because I wasn't pregnant yet, and it wasn't until I got pregnant where I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Pregnancy is intense.
And that's where you flipped a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, actually a lot now.
A lot. So I would say probably number one is pregnancy and postpartum, but a really close number two for my practice is athletes.
Okay.
I still obviously really love it. But why chiropractic? For the longest time, I thought I wanted to be a plastic surgeon, honestly.
Oh, I did not know that about you.
Yeah. So I never actually applied to med school, but I took the MCAT. I was always pre-med in school. And then after school, I went and worked for a plastic surgeon in Chicago. Oh, dear God. No, I do not want to do this. They are definitely a special kind of person.
Okay.
But I think you have to be like really full of yourself and be like, I am the best if you're going to be doing work like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's important, probably, if you're
like
going to be doing.
All surgeons are like, all good surgeons are like that.
I mean, and you probably have to be like,
yeah,
crazy confident.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, I'm the best and we're going to do this. We're going to cut you open. We're going to mess with your face.
My hands are God and I'm going to make everything right in the world. I feel like they all talk to you like that, but you're like, as long as I don't die and you fix it, it's great. Like,
yeah. So that was the original plan. And then I felt kind of lost after that. I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
My parents threw out being a cartographer, which, do you guys?
No.
It's making maps.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to sound stupid if I was wrong.
Yeah.
Wait. Why would your parents go from plastic surgery to cartography?
Well, because I do love art, and I actually painted and drew quite a bit back in the day. Every once in a while, I'll break out my pencils and draw a picture for someone's Christmas present or birthday present or something. But
wait, so hi, my name's Lauren. I'm the map maker.
Yeah, is there like money in map making?
I'm not anymore. Google Maps? No.
That would have failed bad.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine if that's what I ended up doing and now I'm like.
There's a group now for retired map makers.
Oh God.
Lauren's the youngest one there.
Yeah. We were all pushed out by technology.
Google Car goes by and they all flip it off, you know?
So luckily I did not do that.
Yeah.
But then my mom actually was like, why don't you shadow my chiropractor? That might be something you really like. Mom, chiropractors are quacks. Come on. She's like, I think you'd really like her. Just go check it out. So it was actually Trista Pittman here in Dixon.
Oh, nice.
I went and shadowed her for 3 days after the first day. I was like, this is awesome. And I went home and I applied that night, wrote my essay, sent it all in, and I found out a month later that I was accepted, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Good job, Mom.
Cartography
to chiropractor.
Yeah. Wait, face sculptor to map maker to chiropractor. Wait, bone cracker.
Bone cracker. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really happy I didn't do the other two on the cartographer. I probably would have still enjoyed myself doing plastic surgery, but yeah.
Yeah. And you do so great. Yeah. I want to talk more about your running, but I have one question that really is just, do you have like a favorite person? Is it me? That you love needling and they...
Everybody thinks she hates them though.
Yeah, no, seriously. Oh my gosh. Do everyone always jokes about you do like you're great on the needles and it's so great for the body, right? Mm-hmm. You just want to plug that in. I mean, it really is. I mean,
it really is.
Like, we call you the pain queen and what else do they call you? Like some jokes.
Yeah, there's like they call my place the pain cave or house of pain.
House of pain. But obviously we keep coming back because it works.
And you pay me for it.
Yeah.
Like, so there's that.
Are you ready to do this? I can't wait, you know. But, I mean, seriously, do you have me aside from it? Do you have people who get really loud in there who are like...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Even before I did needles. So there's a technique called Graston, and people lovingly call the tool like my little butter knife. And I can remember in Colorado, I would have this lady, such a tiny lady... And such a sailor's mouth. I always had to book her at the end. She was a marathon runner, and we had to always loosen up her IT band on the outside of the thigh. The worst place, period, to have anything done. And she would just F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb as I was doing the grass. And she'd always come back. She was like, that race was so great. I did so good. My legs didn't lock up at all.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So you're very entertaining.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to keep a level of professionalism when I do this, except with Jen. Like, I have looked your friends. Tears down my face laughing.
So I started doing needling and stuff with Lynn sometimes. So we booked together.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Lynn took a video. And it's so funny because Lynn sent it to me. And there is Lauren laughing, giggling. And I'm like, wow, you're so professional.
I know, right?
But also I'm messing with her too. Like I'm chirping and making it hard for her.
I mean, she has a very distinctive line, she says. Should we say it?
What's funny is I didn't know, and I told my husband that, hey, apparently when I'm in pain, I say, shit, motherfucker, shit. Yeah. Right? Is that what it is?
Shit. And you end with bitch. Shit, motherfucker, shit, bitch.
Shit, motherfucker, shit, bitch. And he looked at me, he goes, you didn't know that?
He's like, yeah, that.
He was dead serious. And I go, no, I'm serious. And he goes, no, I'm serious. You've done that. I did that actually in post-surgery in a recovery room. I mean, like, apparently that's a thing. Like, it's like pain Tourette's for me or something. And I was like, shut up. So we did something. I think we were hauling wood and something dropped on me. And I go, shit, motherfucker, shit, bitch. And he's like, he like goes, there it is. And I was like,
that's my girl.
And I was like, oh, I looked at him and he goes,
wow.
Every time.
You do that.
Yeah. He goes, it's like you have Tourette's all of a sudden. I'm like, and I didn't even know that's exactly what I say. And I was like,
yeah,
I have a pattern, huh? Anyway.
All right. Do you schedule Jen at the end of the day?
Usually there's no children, but one time there was a child and it was so funny as the kid entered the room and there was my bare butt.
It was Lynn and you together and you're like, is the child in here? Is there a child in here?
And Lynn's like, yeah, there is
now. And the mom came around the corner. She's like, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
But what's funny is Lynn and I's bare asses are up.
Which is funny because I did also shut the door, but that little girl opened the door and just came strolling right in.
There's just two friends, you know, halfway naked together getting needled. And this child's like, oh my gosh, it's Hellraiser.
Get me out of here.
Listen, child, you totally want to take up running. You get to do this.
Or she's going to become a chiropractor.
Yeah. Like it's a hurt
she
people.
She does help me when I address her mom. She'll go and like push on her mom's back and shoulder. I'm like, oh, thank you. You're so helpful.
So sorry to your aunts for my language right there. But hey, it's what it is.
No, they say all those words.
Great. All right. Back. So you like to do that to people, but it works really good. Highly recommend you. I mean.
It is entertaining for me.
And and it works. Yeah. I mean, like, I hurt myself the other day. I'm like, am I going to have my quad, you know, crastened? Oh, I don't.
Crastened. I thought you said caressed.
Grastened.
What? It sounded like caressed at first, yeah. But
yeah. And then I was like, that didn't make sense. Grastened.
Grastened. I'm like, I'm going to have that grastened. Because I was worried. I'm like, and then I'm like, nope, I'm fine. I don't got to go in. But I would have. I would have, because I don't want to stay hurt. So.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a lot of things we can do that mm-hmm. aren't painful, but we also have a lot of things we can do
but
that
But it's the quickest. I've told people yeah. to come in. Here's a fun fact. If you're listening, I think what worked, I got in trouble once and I was dealing with plantar fasciitis and I was tired of dealing with it. And you grasped end the bottom of my foot. It was terrible. I mean, because yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, it tickles and it hurts at the same time. How is this possible? Because it's hard to hold your, I mean, she's holding it because she knows you're tickled.
Oh, everybody wiggles away.
Yeah. And it hurts. So, but I was like, I woke up the next day without pain and I'm like, finally.
Yay.
Yeah. And then I was careful to do what I needed to do. She just gave me like a little hop. Ahead,
it's like a kickstart
to mm-hmm. my recovery so that I could yeah. stay ahead of it. So when I've heard people come in here and they're like, you know, we tell them, think, yeah, I had the shoes, this and that. And I'm like, have you tried a chiropractor? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, cause I'm like, and I'm telling you, it hurts like some bitch. I'm telling you right now, I'll warn you, but I'll do it again. I will totally, if that ever shows up again, I'm not yeah. going to mess around. I'll come right in and be like, I'll put my foot right there and be like, do it. I'm not going to like it, but do it.
But
you
do
know?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do that to myself. There's no way.
No. And I'll be honest, I needle myself, but I cannot grasp in myself because the needle is either in or out.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing else. But that grasp in, like you can go harder, you can go softer. And if it hurts, let's just go a little softer. And then like you're not doing much. So.
All right. Back to running.
Okay.
So Hennepin 100.
Yes.
This would appear to have a little special place in your running history in your heart, I would think.
Yeah.
I see you on 2015, 2017. 2015, it looked like you about got yourself a sub 24.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened there?
That was the inaugural year of Hennepin 100.
Okay.
And I was living in Norway at the time, so I got the Norwegian flag out there for me. I was like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. My training was...
Amazing time still. I just have to say. Like...
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, and that's the... Here's the crazy part. That's with walking the last 20 miles.
Mm.
So, I mean, I was on par for like 21 and a half, but...
You were going for a sub 24 though, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think I was even honestly really going for sub 23.
Nice.
And it, yeah. And then everything blew up.
As happens in 100.
Yeah. And I really think it's just that course for me. I have learned now the hard way that flat is not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I need those undulating hills. Like I need a little bit of change of elevation. My body just functions better that way.
Okay.
Less wear and tear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not the flat fast
person. But you liked it, right? I mean, like you liked the course, you liked the race, you were like enough to come back.
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly, I'll be perfectly clear to everybody. It has a special place in my heart. I came back that second time because of Stormy.
Mm-hmm.
Stormy is just a special, special mm-hmm. dude. Anybody like that's listening that knows him knows that. And so that first year he had done the 200. Did he do the 100 the first year maybe? And then he was going to do the 200.
I didn't become part of that group until he did the 200.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know how it went. Okay. So I did the 100 in 2015. Mm-hmm. In 2016, he did the 200.
Mm-hmm.
So he ran out to the finish line and then mm-hmm. ran back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's
and yeah, mm-hmm. Vilda, who was like 3.5 at that point, almost 4. She was maybe 4. She came with me to go see him. We got him tacos and we brought him a pair of shoes because he didn't have any big enough because his feet had swelled. So we asked around our group, mm-hmm. someone in our group donated a pair of shoes for him to use. And we took them out, like we met him out there And it was just so cool to see him and mm-hmm. see what he was going through and really just like doing some inner demon work right. there. That then when I saw him at Fleet Feet that winter afterwards in Davenport, I was like, oh, Stormy, that was amazing. I was just super, super inspired by what you did. And he's like, great, do you want to do it with me next year? I was like, oh, sure. And this was in February of 2017. Mm-hmm. So I went home and I was like, oh my gosh, I think I just said yes. I think I said yes to doing 200 with Stormy this year. Oh, shit. Oh, my gosh. Shit. What am I going to do?
You got caught up in the emotions and just...
Yeah, and then yeah. said yes.
Okay.
And so I had said, like, after I did my 100 in 2015, I'm not running this course again.
Mm-hmm.
Never again.
You said that after 2000, the first one?
Yeah, after okay. 2015. So I told my dad, like, hey, I'm going to do the 200 out of Hennepin. He's like, I thought you said you were never doing that again. I'm like, yeah, I did. And now I'm doing it twice mm-hmm. in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So the time on that one in 2017 was much slower because we're like, well, we have a whole nother 100 to do after
right.
that.
You want to conserve.
Yeah. That didn't pan out for me, but it panned out for Stormy again. He yet again finished his 200. So, okay. Yeah.
So how did your 100 go though? Your first two. I mean,
oh yeah. So the first one, my training was like spot on. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And the coach I had at the time, he was like, you're going to start off hard because I think you could win this. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to start out at 8 minute miles for the first 5 miles, and then you're going to go to 8.5 for the next five. And then at that 10 miles, then you're going to drop back a whole minute and you're going to go 9:30 for, I forget how long.
Had your coach done 100 before?
You know, I think he had done one.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, cool. So that's what I did. And I can remember coming into that 50 mile finish, and it was like that 50 mile turnaround, and it was sub 10 at that point. And I was like, wow, I don't want to go back out there. This sucks. And my sister's like, go the turnaround. I'm coming out with you. Cause mm-hmm. at this point she had already done 100. She knew how mm-hmm. much it meant to have a pacer come with you.
Yep.
So I went out and I did that back and forth. She came out with me and it completely changed the race again for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like either at mile 78 or 82 is where that aid station is. I can't remember. And I can't remember where that is. It was either 78 or 82. Everything just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally could not get a run going.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
Everything was hurting.
Yeah. It just wasn't happening. And I would try to run and... Yeah. So we power walked it in. Like, I didn't come 80 miles to not do this.
Yeah.
Was that painful when that 24-hour mark went by?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure it was. Because I was so close. What was it? 20? Did you write it down? Was it 24:42 or something?
Yeah, it was.
Like that?
You just, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, in the ultra, you just missed. I mean.
Yeah. So I walked the last 20-ish miles. And
but you can't
finish that off.
You know, when the body says it's done, it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. So the mind was willing. The body wasn't willing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But also you look back and you're like, wow, there was a lot I did wrong.
What went wrong?
I really just think, you know, I don't know if it's the, you know, you put trust in a coach. And so I was like, coach said this, I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think now just knowing better and having been in the sport longer, like obviously you don't start out at 8 minute miles,
mm-hmm.
but also when I'm really into it, I'm competitive. And I was like, shit, if he thinks I could win, I'm going to go for that win. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat at second for a little bit. I sat at third for a little bit. And honestly, I was still at third going into that 80 mile mark. And then it left.
Yeah.
You know, it was what it was. But yeah.
It's still a very impressive time.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I would take it. I would love it. I'm happy with my 26:40 I got out
yeah.
there. I mean.
That was awesome. That's, and you were hurting so bad after.
Well, that course is harder than what people realize, I feel like.
I think people think like, oh, it's flat, it's going to be easier. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think the opposite. It's flat, so it makes it way harder.
Yeah. Those muscles that are getting used, pounded over mm-hmm. and over again are like cashed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I can remember, you know, what's that little dance movement? The grapevine? Mm-hmm. Doing those along the course to try to stretch different muscles and like
I remember walking backwards sideways. Yeah, I remember going backwards and doing high marches, trying to pretend I was doing going up a hill.
Yeah,
you know, just whatever.
Yeah,
just to try and
move anything.
I remember pissing Matthias off by laying in the middle of a road at one point in time.
You're like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Leave me alone.
Because he was getting some more tailwind filled up and he's like, go ahead. And I'm laying in the middle of the road. He's like, you're in the road, damn it. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know. Like, I'm so tired.
I'm sorry.
Because, you know, it crosses over. I just thought, I'm like, this looks like a great place to lay down.
Oh, that was the first place I hallucinated.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, there, but I
look at all of the, why is everybody out fishing right now? Like it was all those little lights that you put on the front and the back of the boat.
Yeah.
Hundreds of them.
Oh, okay.
Like, what are they doing out here? Is there a fishing tournament? Like what is happening?
Your eyes were just cashed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if Sean Ryan listens to this, but then
he does, I think.
But then the next year I paced him uh-huh. and crewed him.
Okay.
And he was the best. He was like, a hacksaw? Someone would just leave a hacksaw on the side of the road? And he picked up the stick. He's like, ah, it's a stick. And then at one point he was like petting the grass. He's like, wow, isn't this just really beautiful? Like, yes. Yes, it is. What are you petting? He's like, it's like a velour. Like this just really pretty velour fabric. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Don't you want to be with your runner sometimes and they're just totally like they're like seems appears like they're high out of their mind. You're like, where are you? Where are you?
Tell me a story right now.
Yeah, like tell me more. Mm-hmm. I think it's best just to mess with your runner because there's no point in arguing with them because they're just like, that's great. Tell me more.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I saw a yellow submarine, I'm like, oh my God, there's a yellow submarine going down the canal. And he goes, oh, that's great, but it's going the wrong way. And I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was great.
Yeah. Huh.
I didn't know I had hallucinated until like weeks later. And the person I was with, she was like, no, those were not there at all. I was like, oh. I still thought it was true even to this
time. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like I always didn't realize it. Like, I'm like, I think that's not real. I'm not sure.
You're like,
I feel like somebody's messing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And person is me.
It's me. I'm messing with me.
I'm the problem. All right. So 200 miles. You did go for that.
Yes, I did.
Do you feel the need for a redemption on that 200?
100% do.
That's the question.
You knew where you were going with that.
At breakfast today.
Yeah.
So you still want that.
There's something about it.
It's on your hit list.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think if it were different. Oh, no.
Oh, man. Shit.
Oh, shit.
I just couldn't get away. There you go.
Matthias just came into the store. Hi, Matthias.
What's up, ladies?
Grace is waiting on a customer right now, and a customer walked in.
Yeah.
Matthias. That would be me.
Yeah. Come and get your shoes.
No. Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
Are you buying new gloves and new shoes?
Well, I'm hoping I can trade my new gloves because I want a size smaller.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, these are like such great gloves.
I love those. We're getting right. I was just asking her about, I was talking about Hennepin and she attempted the 200. And does she feel the need for a redemption? And she says,
yes.
Yes.
She's always for the big distances.
Yeah.
That's 100% on my list.
So do you have something that you're eyeing right now?
Yes and no. I mean, nothing like 100% in particular. There's not a whole lot of 200s to choose from.
Coca donut?
I know, right?
Yeah, but if you're running it, you can't help somebody.
Right. But if we run it together.
Oh.
Who would I run
with? Do you know
with?
How hard that would be to stay together for 250 miles?
Honestly, that 50 miler I did in Oslo, my friend and I stayed together, and it was really tough because her highs were my lows, and then my highs were her lows.
I'd love to do it.
So
I would.
That was tough.
That would be the best to do because it's so long to be with somebody the entire time. But I think the biggest problem would be you can sleep and I can't.
Yeah, that's very true. You have a real hard trouble sleeping.
So I would have to just do it when my body says it's time. And it would, it could be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, I would just have to take advantage of when it was time.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, deuces, baby. I can do it whenever.
I just took a 2 hour nap back there. But well, it's so pretty.
Not today
up there.
Though, right?
Not today.
You had stuff to do today.
I know. So many things to do today. So it's been a great day.
It's her birthday.
It is. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I see all the get up. You guys got happy birthday crowns and little flowers are over.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
Birthday drinks.
Wait, and you got to hit him.
Happy birthday glasses.
You got to hit him with your blower.
Oh, the blower.
Oh, yeah. Ready?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to hit you in the face with my blower.
But it doesn't make any noise.
I know. It's lame.
Yeah. It doesn't go,
or whatever it's supposed to go. That.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 200 mile.
200 miles.
Cocodona, maybe.
Maybe.
Wait, did you see the one, the Southwest one, the new one, is Georgia?
Oh.
I'm kind of eyeing that one, too.
Yeah.
I'll send you that one.
Please do.
It's their first year. I want to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
But it's much more affordable, and it's more in the, it goes from Georgia, I think, like, down to, like, it looks gorgeous.
That sounds amazing. So is it a point to point?
Mm-hmm. Huh? 200 miles, not 250. Yeah.
I know, right? Well, I'd kind of looked at, like, I think that Lake Tahoe, the Tahoe 200.
Didn't you enter for one of them?
Really beautiful. It was not that one. Which one did I do?
Bigfoot.
I think I did Bigfoot. Yeah. Thank goodness I didn't get chosen for that.
That one's hard, I heard.
It said it's the hardest of her 200s. Yeah, so luckily, that was just like in the spirit at the moment, and I was following along online, and it was, I'm like, whew, oh, thank goodness. Got a little sweaty on that one.
You're currently training for Kettle 100.
Yes.
How's your preparation going for this, and are you training the same as you did back before? Like when you use your Hennepin, or are you training a little differently? How's this going for your training for Kettle?
I'm actually really excited about it because I definitely got burnt out on the running for a while there. I think when I first started, I was doing more lifting along with my running. Mm-hmm. And then it slowly transitioned to just running and I got burnt out.
Okay.
And so now it's pretty fun because I am incorporating more lifting. And I have done a couple runs where I lifted heavy legs before running.
I got to do the whole quality thing because of lifting. Yeah.
Yeah. So far I'm really having fun. Like it feels good to be training for something again.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's exciting.
All right.
A bit nerve wracking. I think just this winter was weird for a lot of people. There's like that sickness that's gone like, it just lasts a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a calf injury for a little bit. And then there was like a little bit of a cold. And so it took out like 4 or 5 weeks. I'm like, oh, but now I'm back on it. Mm-hmm. And it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. So
a bit of a mind game.
So you're incorporating lifting and running.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is great because I used to do a lot of CrossFit. Mm-hmm. So this is actually right up my alley and I love it.
So like today, you lifted yesterday and then you ran today, right?
So, I did.
Yeah. How's it? It feels good.
It feels good. Yeah. Maybe not so much when I start running. Like, fuck you, legs.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like overall, like feeling like you're doing work.
Yeah.
I like that feeling.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I like doing the work.
Kettle 100 though.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm actually really excited about that because I've been there multiple times helping people, but never ran it. But back in the day, North Face, the company, had the North Face Endurance Challenge, and it was on part of that course, and it was a whole weekend of running. So we would do multiple races in a weekend and we'd camp up there.
Yeah.
And like you could do everything from a 5K to a marathon. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a 50K. I'm not sure. And so I've been on the course a decent amount, but I think it'll be really fun. It's a beautiful area.
When do you get a pacer for kettle? Is it after 50 mile? You
know? I think it's right around like that 60 mile, actually, because you have to come back into a loop. Yeah. So it's like you go north and you go a top loop and then you come in and then you go south and do
it's
a bottom
so
loop.
It's so pretty up there.
Yeah.
All right. Exciting.
It is exciting. Woo! Scary and exciting.
It is. And that's in May.
That's in June. That's June 8th, sorry. I believe.
Why do I keep saying May? I keep saying May.
I don't know, because that's... Don't say May, because that is more scary. I don't feel I'll be ready in May. I don't 100% feel I'll be ready in June, but I definitely won't be ready in May.
You're doing great, I bet. All right. I have another question. Okay. How do you do this? You're training for kettle.
Yeah.
How do you balance motherhood, a business, community involvement, having friends, marriage, and training for a race? How do you feel about that? Like how I have my personal opinion and how it's easier for men to train than it is women.
Oh, I would wholeheartedly agree. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I just get up early and do it. But the problem in the problem in our relationship is Cody is off to work by 3:30 in the morning.
Mm.
So it's not like I can even get up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose after talking to Morgan, I could get up at 1:30 and go do a run prior to that. I'm going to be honest. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not getting up before 3:30,
mm-hmm.
which means I can't get out and go for a run and leave the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a little tricky, like finding time at lunch. And luckily I am self-employed. So I've made my lunches long. I only work half days. Seeing patients, I really feel like there's a caveat because there is always work to be done, even when I'm not seeing patients. But yeah. If you want to do it, you make time for it. Is it as much time as you wish you had? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way.
Yeah.
So it looks different than what I did before when I had way more time.
Yeah.
And there were less plates to juggle.
You just adapt.
Right.
All right. You've crewed a lot.
Yeah, I love crewing.
And you paced a lot.
Yeah.
Do you have some advice for the listeners who are getting ready to crew somebody or pace them? Like, you do so much troubleshooting and,
I think the more you do it, the more things follow a pattern. So, like, you kind of know, like, when things are going off the rails, what to do when that happens. There are some times where it's just completely out of the blue. Like when you took that tumble in Texas, you're like, all right, let's just see what it looks like when she comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more, I mean, obviously you were injured and probably still are.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, it was very much mental. And once we talked to you a little bit and you started using the arm, we're like, okay, she's good. She can get back out
there.
It's
not broke.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of like really communication, talking to the person that you're crewing or pacing and be like, what works for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or going out and doing some miles ahead of time and getting to know what type of runner they are.
For sure.
Because not everybody loves to be talked to.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the more you do it, then the more you know. And I feel like you also learn other people that you might pace with. Like, I really enjoyed pacing with you when we went out with Keith for those laps at Pottawatomie last year.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite.
We didn't even talk.
Mm-mm.
We just took on our roles.
And we knew exactly what to do.
We sandwiched him basically between us.
I love that we came up with the plan with no words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. So I really think it just
comes
with
time. And he had no idea.
No. But he just went with it.
Uh-huh.
He's like, okay.
And he got his PR.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we knew what we had to do, get his ass moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty fun. And I think that's the thing with ultra running. And I had a lot of racing time in those early years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people feel like they want to give back after that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when you're the racer, and it's just the nature of the sport, it's very much like a take, take, take.
Mm-hmm.
Here are all of these people supporting you.
Right.
So you can achieve your goals and your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so gorgeous. It's such a cool sport. And so I think then you automatically have this feeling like, okay, I need to give back.
Mm-hmm.
I need to help people.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's selfish because mm-hmm. you get so much from doing that.
So much.
Yeah.
It's, I feel like
shed tears at every single finish line.
You and I both, we can't look at each other.
Yeah. Like, no, you stop crying.
Oh, we are terrible together.
It's so cool mm-hmm. to see people achieve.
It's my favorite.
I love it.
I feel like I could cry now. I've almost cried more at some people's races than my own.
Yeah. Here's a funny story. I thought I didn't cry at my first ultra, which was that 50 with Vilda.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something about it. And my mom's like, you're a liar. And then she sent me a picture of me crying. I was like, huh? Okay. Thanks, mom. Great. Thank you, mom.
I hope no one ever feels embarrassed. Like, I don't, I can't remember who told me, I don't want people to see me crying at finish. I'm like, don't ever.
Yeah.
Like, you're almost going to look like a robot if you don't show mm-hmm. emotion at your face.
Right?
Like,
what's wrong with that person?
Yeah, like, cry the tear. Show emotion.
You worked really, really hard for that.
And it's,
and not just in that day.
And somebody pointed out to me that I just never really acknowledged is not only is an ultra physically traumatic, it's emotionally, mentally traumatic.
I heard that too. Yeah.
And that really hit me, especially mm-hmm. after Dino, of how emotionally
for real
traumatic that was.
Yeah.
And then if you look at my finish, that's what you see is a lot of emotional trauma coming down where I'm just like, yeah. I'm cooked, just cooked.
Yeah.
And fried, you know, and I just couldn't give anything, you know. And you're like, wow. Oh, yeah, it is. It's very traumatic.
You're like looking back. Uh-huh, yeah. 100%.
Totally agree with you. Thanks for pointing that out. Something I have to deal with. I mean, it's something I want to get stronger at. Not that I don't want to have that kind of finish, but to be stronger during a race for, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting stuff. So what keeps you coming back? You've been doing this. You've been in the ultra world for a while.
Yeah, 2014.
You know, you see people come in. They do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I've done it all. And then they kind of fizzle out. What keeps you coming? You keep coming back for more.
I think it's that thing of like, okay, I've made it. Not every distance that I've done. Obviously, there's this 200. I think that 200 keeps me coming back.
Ooh.
But like when you finish and you're like, oh, okay, that was a big goal and I did it.
Mm-hmm.
What else could I do?
Mm-hmm.
There's that sense of like, oh, well, that didn't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
What else could I do?
Or where?
What else am I capable of?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's that. Like, I don't know. Let's find the limit. Let's go there.
Does it stop?
Well, I haven't hit that 200 yet. So I guess when I hit the 200, I'll let you know if it stops.
And there's a 250 and now there's a 300.
I mean, so we'll see.
What advice do you have for anyone starting this? And I think we might have one. I mean, the bartender who put our drinks together was going to check out the podcast. And was
no
like,
way.
Yeah, she was asking so many questions. And she's like, this might be for me.
Yes.
Like, what? Okay. Join.
Yeah.
We'll see you there.
I think you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and this is an opinion of mine, I think that in our day and age, everybody is willing to pop a medication. Mm-hmm. To make themselves more comfortable. You know, people don't want to really go out there and test the waters. And this is a really like this is a good place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you have to know, yeah, if you don't want to be uncomfortable, don't come out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes being uncomfortable to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but be patient.
Mm.
This is not one of those things that...
There's some quick fix.
Yeah.
There's no quick getting it.
No, you have to put in the work. And it may not go as fast as you want. I do feel like I'm struggling with that. Knowing what I was capable of just a few years ago. Okay, mm-hmm. Now I'm also older.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have another child.
Mm-hmm.
But you still look at, like, you compare yourself to yourself back then. And mm-hmm. That's what I need to stop doing. But.
All right.
Yeah, be patient.
Be patient.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
I have nothing else.
Okay. I got to go pick up my kids.
All right. And Grace is done because she's in with customers.
Oh, yep.
You got to pick up your kids.
Well, thank you for this.
Thank you.
This was fun.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.